When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
5 years. 5 years since the Secretary of State of the United States of America visited Beijing in conversation with the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party. Reuters celebrates the headline. Xi, Blinken agree to stabilize U.S.-China relations in Beijing talks. The explanation, however, requires a lot of attention, and I call upon my colleague Mary Kissel. She is an executive vice president of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor at the Secretary of State, and importantly, years for the Wall Street Journal editorial board in Hong Kong before that city was crushed by this man named Xi. Mary, a very good evening to you. The talks between Secretary Blinken and his counterpart, the foreign minister of China, and his counterpart, the senior diplomat in China, Wang Yi, have pointed to other conclusions besides the word agree. At one point, the foreign minister said the relations between the U.S. and China are at their lowest point since recognition. We presume that reaches all the way back into the 20th century when the U.S. recognized the Chinese Communist Party as sovereign in the mainland of China. However, these talks also were complicated by the fact that China's economy is in tatters. How do you hear Mr. Blinken saying that there were positive steps in this conversation, given the library of troubles that China has created? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. There's a lot to unpack here. The most important question is, what does Washington hope to achieve through these talks? The U.S. ambassador to Beijing said very plainly that you give nothing away by talking. But I would take issue with that assertion. In fact, China gains quite a lot through the spectacle of having a U.S. Secretary of State travel halfway around the world only to get off an airplane to a bare reception by a low-ranking official and then to be sat at a long table like a schoolboy in front of Xi Jinping. It was, in terms of the optics, a humiliating display. Prior secretaries of state, not just Secretary Pompeo, but Secretary Clinton, were seated as equals. And China was sending a message that they are in control. They can school us. We will come to them in the old form of kowtow, just as in ancient times. And so the optics of the meeting were terrible, just like they were in Bali when President Biden was forced to walk up to Xi Jinping and travel to his hotel on his terms. But more importantly, John, the outcome of the meeting was extremely disappointing. Secretary Blinken rightly wants to reestablish military-to-military ties, as does Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Both were rebuffed, Austin in Singapore at the Shangri-La Dialogue and Blinken just this week in his meetings in Beijing. China simply is not interested in having the kind of cooperative relationship and the stabilized relationship that Blinken wants. So I don't know what the thinking was behind this trip. There were no indications that either rhetorically, optically, or in terms of do outs, so to speak, that we would get something. But the Chinese certainly got an opportunity to lecture, to show the world that they are in control, and also to humiliate the secretary by giving such a warm reception to U.S. corporate leaders, Elon Musk and Bill Gates, in the days prior to Blinken's visit. They were very, very, very warmly received.
To establish the present condition of the People's Republic of China's economy, a headline in the Wall Street Journal, China cuts borrowing rates again in bid to juice recovery Economists say that more drastic measures may be needed, with debt and uncertainty continuing to weigh on consumers' willingness to spend. That is a long way around saying China's economy is in severe decline. More stimulus is, well, the old metaphor on Wall Street was pushing on a string. The consumers are reluctant because they know the failure of the property market is coming for all of them. Xi Jinping is in the weakest position I can remember of his 10-plus years of the Chinese miracle. Was that evidenced in any fashion by remarks by the Secretary of State? You used the correct term, kowtow. Xi stands upon an economy of nothing but debt. The United States is in a position to remind Xi that the only way ahead for him is to cooperate with the rest of the international community. Was that message conveyed?
No, it wasn't. And I recognized very clearly the language that was included in some of the State Department's official readouts from these meetings. It's basically an agglomeration of hashed over talking points and jargon. For instance, I'll just read you one. It says the two sides had candid, substantive, and constructive discussions on key priorities in the bilateral relationships and on a range of global and regional issues. Really, candid discussions? What exactly was said? What was substantive if nothing came of it? And what was constructive if the secretary was humiliated in front of the Chinese people and the world? It's a shame that we can't speak plainly about the enemies and the challenges that we face in Xi Jinping and his cadre. Now is the time for plain talking, not careful construction of phraseology. And you're right, John. If there were ever a time to pressure Xi to behave more responsibly in his near abroad and to adhere to the rules that he himself and the Chinese government signed up to, it would be now, because the economy is tottering. And of course, one of the ironies of that is that we learned that lesson in the United States during the Obama era, where the government tried to force consumers to spend by suspending their mortgage payments, by other forms of welfare, and they simply didn't. We never got above 2% growth. This is the fiction of Keynesian economics, that you can somehow, you give people money, they will magically spend, and a dollar of government in will equal a dollar of government out, government money spent. And that's just not how it works. People are rational. And in China, as in the United States at that time, they don't perceive that the economic condition is very positive. They're going to hoard their capital, or they're going to try to get it out. So it's a huge missed opportunity, in my view. But more so, I think it's deeply concerning that the Biden team says that it wants to stabilize the relationship, but is going back to a practice of appeasement that we know from history doesn't work. And that's deeply concerning. And there are people in the administration that know that it won't work. But the problem, as I've said before on this program, is at the top. Unless the president decides to examine the reality of the situation and instruct his people to insist on reciprocal behavior, meaning we're not going to act nice to you unless you act nice to us, then nothing's going to happen. You can't just put the spy balloon incident behind us, as the administration recently said. You can't really ignore the cooperation that's going on between Beijing and Havana just off our coast. Where are the consequences here? The Blinken trip was not a consequence. It was an appeasement. And I fear that it will only embolden Xi Jinping to take more aggressive action, action that will be against our interest for sure.
You mentioned Cuba. The headline this morning is fresh. And I puzzle, Mary, was this headline timed to answer the agree word used between Xi and Blinken? Agree? Agree to what? Beijing plans a new training facility in Cuba, raising prospect of Chinese troops on America's doorstep. President Kennedy, in 1962, and Nikita Khrushchev in Moscow came to the brink of nuclear weapons at sea over troops, Russian troops in Cuba. And now China's playing that card again. As of yet, I see no strong reaction from the Biden administration. This would tell me that Xi knew this was coming. He knew that his agreement over these last days was going to be answered by China beating war drums. Mary, they're going to continue this until and if the Biden administration backs them off. Is it capable of doing that?
Not on the present course. And this isn't the first time, by the way, that Beijing has followed in the footsteps of others who have opposed the United States. Look at their campaign in the Pacific Islands, where they essentially followed what Japan did and tried to dominate the island chain to cut off the United States from its friends in Australia and New Zealand. So there are plenty of lessons from history. My fear is that the only one who is learning them are the folks folks in Beijing and not the people in Washington today.
And one more detail. Wang Yi, the tough guy. Wang Yi is said to have said, we only have third-hand reporting here, that Taiwan is the core of core issues. There were other metaphors, but I believe core of core was the important one. What does that mean, Mary? Does that mean they're going to attack? Does that mean that they bring it up every time as if it was some kind of marriage agreement? What does core of core mean for us today?
It means that they want Taiwan in some form or fashion. We don't know how or when. It means that the United States' official position of strategic ambiguity is not working. It is an odd position to have. We cooperate with Taipei in many ways, and we're undergoing a huge effort, John, to prepare Taiwan for an eventual confrontation with China. We're cooperating more closely with Taiwan today than we ever had. It is, as many have acknowledged, the most vibrant democracy in Asia, extremely tolerant and a vigorous place that welcomes speech, assembly, worship, and labor organization. It's a wonderful place. President Biden, to his credit, has made clear multiple times that he would defend Taiwan were it attacked. The problem is that you can't just say those things. You have to back it up with consistency in your diplomacy and in your actions. And that's the other reason why Blinken's trip this week was so damaging, is that it simply reiterated to Beijing that we are eager as anything for any kind of cooperation from China. He mentioned food security, public health, counter-narcotics. Of course, there's been no cooperation on any of those things, and there's no reason to believe that they're going to cooperate in the future. We should have asked for concrete action to be agreed before the secretary landed in China. So I don't know who was organizing this meeting or who agreed to these formulas of how he'd be seated and what they would say and what we'd say afterward. To me, it was an embarrassment for the United States and a dangerous one at that.
The payoff, is it a handshake between Biden and Xi? That's what everything is all about, just that handshake?
Well, optics are important in U.S. domestic politics. The president might have wanted an issue like fentanyl, where he can now say that the United States and China have agreed to a fentanyl working group. Well, guess what? We've agreed to that before, and nothing has changed.
Right.
So it could have been, in some part, a domestic political imperative. That is natural from a democratically elected administration. The Trump administration had domestic political imperatives, too, when they dealt with China. Every administration does, Republican or Democrat. The issue, though, is that both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill, in corporate America, across our defense and intelligence establishments, they all understand now the nature of the regime that we're dealing with. And the only people who don't seem to get it are the important people who are setting the direction of U.S. foreign policy today.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. We're headed to Europe, nuclear weapons. I'm John Patrick.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it sippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.